It is good to see everyone today, and it is a wonderful, wonderful time to assemble on the Lord's Day. This March 3rd, 2019, a message that I have entitled, Baptized in the Name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to start out in Acts chapter 10 today, and it is a wonderful, wonderful moment in our church as we get to baptize a young lady who has come forward publicly proclaiming her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be doing that in a few moments. But before we do, we are going to look at a message on what does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there are two components that we're going to look about. You're publicly proclaiming a personal decision that you have made that is between you and Jesus. And you're telling the world. You're telling the world two things. Number one, you're telling the world, I believe everything the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. That He is the Son of God. That He did die on the cross for my sins and that He took them there. And then you're also saying, I have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to give my life to Him. To give over the lordship authority unto God. And that I will no longer live for myself, but I will live committed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But that means that you make that commitment in your heart. And you have been through a season of conviction. That you know I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then when you do that, when you pray that prayer and ask Him into your heart, and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart by faith, then you feel the need to be baptized. And the Holy Spirit puts that on your heart and convicts you, because that's the first step of obedience. So let's look at the scripture today. Acts chapter 10 verse 44. This is the first Gentile conversion. In the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. And we are Gentiles who have been grafted in. And so, look at what happens. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. But while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard what he was preaching. And they of the circumcision, the Jews which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because the Jewish folks thought Jesus was only the Jewish Messiah and the Jewish Savior. They didn't know he had come to save the whole world. Jew and Gentile. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we Jews? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they had him stay and teach them for several days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, humbled by this opportunity, humbled by this privilege to attempt to teach and preach baptism in your name, the most powerful doctrine, or the most powerful, Father, right that we carry out in the New Testament church that represents the doctrine of salvation through faith by grace. And Father, as I call upon you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and a cleansing. Father, I confess to you the filth of my sins this past week, these past days. And I know in confession, Father, you will cleanse me by your blood. And I pray to be changed by your Spirit, that your Spirit will mortify the sins of my flesh. I pray, Lord Jesus, for an anointing and a filling of your Spirit today, that you will totally take over and be our teacher. And touch hearts today, Father, those that have been baptized. Touch their hearts with the truth of their experience. And touch those today, Father, that need to come forward and take a stand for you. Father, you publicly hung on that cross for them. Lord, guide us now. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, look at what he says in verse 48. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? First of all, you are publicly acknowledging a personal belief. A personal belief about a set of facts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, or concerning the truths of the Bible concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, we see what Peter preached. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. The word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they crucified, they hung him on a tree, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." And in verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. So what is that message? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross and carried our sins. We can only find forgiveness in the name and in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're baptized, you're identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thus, you stand before the congregation, you go under the water, you come back up saying, "I believe that salvation can only be found in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, you are also proclaiming this in your baptism. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The scripture says this, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Verse 24, "Who in his own self, on his own body, he bare our sins in his own body on that cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." So what I want you to understand, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus and you're baptized into his death, you believe miraculously that when he was on that cross, your sins were on his body. Amen. And that when there were 3 hours of darkness on that cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was facing your judgment, your wrath of God. He was facing all the punishment and wrath for your sin. He carried it for you in a substitutionary death on the cross. And when I get saved, I am receiving what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. I cannot save myself. So you're telling the world, "I believe when Jesus was on the cross, my sins were on his body. He faced my judgment, my death, and my hell for me. And so I'm telling the world, that's what I believe in." Go with me to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, the scripture says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death." Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Verse 10, "For in that he died unto sin once." So, I'm just going to show you the first part of baptism. When you're standing there before the preacher and you go under the water, you are identifying with two deaths. You are identifying with your death to self and with Christ's death for you. And when you go under that water, that means that I believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for me. And when you go under that water, you're telling the world, "Hey, I am dying to my old self as I am receiving forgiveness of sin from Jesus Christ." Look at it, what it says in verse 10. "For in that he died unto sin once." In verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man," my old life, "is dead with him." So baptism represents a split in your life. Your life before without Christ, and your life after with Christ. And it all started at that moment you made that decision, that choice, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Baptism does not save you. Going under that water does not save you. It represents something you've already done in your mind and in your heart that does save you. And so that's what we do today. We carry on this 2,000 year tradition, this 2,000 year edict, this 2,000 year command to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 4. Because we believe, we believe that there is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved. And so we carry it on. 2,000 years later, in our generation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, is responding to the scribes and Pharisees. They said, "By what name did you heal this lame man? We have forbidden you to teach in the name of Jesus." And Peter says this, filled with the Holy Spirit, in verse 8, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the crippled man, and by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, it is by his power that this man stands before you whole and healed. This is the stone." Jesus was the center stone of all Christianity, and you rejected him. And then he says in verse 12, "I want you to know, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So when I take Blair up here today and we baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, she is telling this congregation that she believes and that she knows in her heart there is no other name under heaven by which I can be saved. And it is a public proclamation and declaration of a series of beliefs that you hold in your heart and of a dedication and a commitment that you have made unto Jesus. It's personal and then it's public. It's personal in your heart and then it's public. And we'll see why here in a moment. So Blair will be telling the whole world that I believe everything that the Bible says is true about Jesus. And that Jesus Christ died for me. Now, if he died for you, I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's not only the proclamation of a belief, it's the proclamation of a commitment. My old man has died, we just read in Romans chapter 6. And we'll go back there in a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the scripture says this. Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us. It drives us to keep preaching, to keep evangelizing, to keep mission work, to keep moving throughout. Because we have come to this conclusion, we thus judge, we just reckon, that if one died for all, then all of us were dead in our sins, and all of us were going to face God's judgment, and all of us were going to spend an eternity in hell. And that if He died for all, they that are saved and they which live should not henceforth anymore live unto themselves, but they should live their life dedicated unto Him which died for them and rose again. And so what Blair's saying is, I believe everything the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And I believe that He died for me on Calvary's cross. And so I'm telling the world that from this point forward, I'm going to live for Him. I've made that decision in my heart already. I've asked Him already to come into my heart, and I've made that commitment unto Him. But she is telling the world publicly that I've made that commitment from this point forward to live unto Jesus. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, when you're being baptized, you say this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is a thought process that is in your heart and in your mind. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, the newness of life, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that's the public testimony of baptism. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. Yet not I, but Christ. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live is a new life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. And then if you go to Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the scripture says this. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. That's commitment. You are proclaiming your commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back with me to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. So when you go under the water, you identify with His death. When you come out of the water, you identify with your belief in His resurrection. Yeah. And not only His resurrection, you come out with the commitment and the belief of your new life in Christ. Amen. And so you're telling the world. It splits your life in half. B.C. and A.D. You know, that's how history is. Before Christ, an Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. And so we have that in baptism. You never forget your baptism. You'll never forget who baptized you. You'll never forget who was there. You'll never forget what it meant to you. And so it's the public proclamation of a personal decision. It is the public proclamation of a personal belief system, but I want to show you it's something else. Go to Matthew chapter 3. And look at the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, the scripture says, "Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it, allow it to be so. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. I'm a Jew, and you're having all the Jews baptized about the coming kingdom of Messiah, and so John allowed him to be baptized. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven came forth and proclaimed, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well please. Now, what was that, Brother Leo? That was the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And there was a public declaration from heaven that said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I want you to understand, for 30 years, folks knew Jesus. They knew him as the son of the carpenter. They probably took work to him. They knew him from going to synagogue or different places. They saw him keep the feasts. But now he began his public ministry as the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior of the world. And baptism was the threshold he walked through to tell the world, I am the Son of God. And for 3.5 years, he continued that public ministry. And it's the same thing for us. Baptism is our first step of public obedience. Yes. Baptism's where we tell the world, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, a real experience, and I know him as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Baptism is where we take a public stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go with me and look at a verse that always touched me as a young person, Matthew chapter 10. I had a preacher that used this verse pretty much every Sunday during an invitation. And I can remember being 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and this verse grabbing my heart and convicting me. And at times frightening. And it frightens me today. Jesus says this. Matthew chapter 10 verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah. Baptism is your first opportunity to confess your belief in God before man. Yeah. It's the way the Bible established it. It's the way the truth of the Word of God has established it. It is taking a stand for the Lord. And when Jesus was baptized, God said something about his son. He says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. In 35 years, I've had the privilege of baptizing many, 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 many people. and not a one of them has ever expressed to me any regret in taking that step and being baptized in the name of Jesus. And at that moment, when it was over, they felt well pleased of the Father and knew that they had done what they were supposed to do. And you know how I knew that? Because I knew when I got baptized, I had finally done what I needed to do. I had fought him off. I had denied him before men many times, many invitations. But when I finally surrendered unto the Lord and was baptized, it was humbling, it was powerful, it was impactful, and it's something I'll never forget. So I want to ask you a question. It's in Acts chapter 8. And we'll close out here today, this part of the service. And in Acts chapter 8, and the reason we're studying Acts today, because Acts is the origin of the New Testament church. We're the New Testament church. There's no other book in the Bible that tells us what we're supposed to do in the New Testament church any better than Acts. What they did, we're supposed to do. They baptized in the name of Jesus. They partook of the Lord's Supper, which we'll be doing here in a few weeks. They did these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they carried on these ordinances. So we carry them on today until Jesus comes back. And in Acts 8 verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a great man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, he was the treasurer, had come to Jerusalem to worship the true God. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran, and he heard him reading Isaiah, and he said unto him, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I except some man guide me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him and teach him what he was reading. And the place of scripture was Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter on that cross. And like a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. And in verse 34, the eunuch said, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and taught him everything he could teach him about Jesus. It's what you believe and know about Jesus. And what he taught him about Jesus was there is salvation in no other name. And there's no other way to be saved but by what Jesus did on that cross. And so after he teaches him all this, in verse 36, the man says, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized right now in this name of Jesus? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe everything you told me and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the river, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. In the name of Jesus. But notice the question. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And I ask you that question. Those that are in this room. Those that are listening on this website. What is it that hinders folks from being baptized? I have told you what baptism is. Baptism is a personal decision that you come to, whether you're 10, 12, 15, 20, 30. I baptized a man in his 80s in Somerville, South Carolina. It has no age, but just the age of accountability, where you come to a place where you realize that I'm a sinner that needs to be saved by grace. Amen. And only Jesus Christ can save me. Baptism is a public proclamation of that personal decision. Baptism is also a public proclamation of a commitment that you make at that time, where you say, I believe in Jesus and I place my life in His hands, His authority, His lordship over me. But baptism's been hijacked by American and European religion. Let me tell you what baptism is not. Baptism is not confirmation. Baptism is not taking a class or a course at the local church when you turn a certain age. That is not scriptural, biblical believer's baptism. Baptism is not joining a religion. I think that's a hijack. Baptism is between you and Jesus. The religion didn't save you. You're not proclaiming to the world the Baptist or the Methodist or the Catholic saved you. Though some of those religions want you to proclaim that. And it's a lie. Amen. From the devil. Yeah. Baptism is about a personal relationship with a man who was the Son of God. Amen. Jesus the Christ. So baptism represents something that everyone has to come to personally between them and God, and it has nothing to do with religion. Oh, well, I was sprinkled as a child. That means nothing. I went through a course when I was 12 or 13. That means nothing. There is nothing in the book of Acts, there is nothing in the Bible that substantiates any of that. And I know I'm going out all over the country and all over the world, and people are going to be offended by the truth of the Word of God. Baptism, scripturally and biblically, is a public statement by you as an individual to the world about what you believe about Jesus. Yeah. And how you've committed your life to Him. So what doth hinder me to be baptized? You know, I've had folks tell me, Brother Leo, you know why I didn't get baptized for years? Because a lot of people in church knew me when I was 12 and I got baptized then, but you know, I wasn't saved then. I got baptized then because my friends went up. But looking back on it now, I know that I wasn't saved. So I was kind of embarrassed to go up in my 30s and get baptized when folks thought I was already saved. But I got saved later on in my life. You know, and the question is, when you were baptized, what did it mean to you? What were you thinking? Yeah. What was going through your mind? What did it represent to you? Some folks say, well, you know, Brother Leo, I get nervous real easy. Folks have told me that for years. I get nervous real easy. Well, guess what? You get nervous going to school and you go to school. You get nervous when you start a new job and you start a new job. I used to get nervous when we played Somerville High School and there were 18,000 people in the stands. I still played the game. See, that's a lie from the devil. Oh, well, I'm shy, I'm bashful, I don't want to get up in front of those people. That's another lie from the devil. Jesus Christ hung publicly on a cross for you. And this is part of it. You take that stand publicly for Him, and the bottom line is His Holy Spirit will carry you. And His Holy Spirit will lift you up. You don't get baptized in the strength of your own flesh. You get baptized under the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, He's not going to guide you and lead you and not carry you through the experience. So we're going to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to ask Judy to play softly for a few moments. And as she's playing, I'm going to ask you to think back on your baptism, what it meant to you, what you were thinking, and confirm in your heart, thank you, Lord Jesus, I got baptized knowing that I knew that you would save me and I was committing my life to you. Or maybe as you pray and think, you might say, you know, when I got baptized, I didn't know what in the world I was doing. I did it for the wrong reason. Well, you may say, Brother Leo, I need to meet with you in the coming weeks, and we need to get this thing settled. I know now when I got saved, it was after I got baptized. Or you may be here today and you've not yet taken that step. I'm going to ask you to pray seriously about that. If you want to come up here and pray with me about it, you can. Say, you know, Brother Leo, I know Jesus is Lord and Savior, and I do need to be baptized, and we'll meet and we'll talk about it like I got to do with Blair. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments and thank the Lord for this great ordinance of the church.